How about now? Okay, there we go. Good evening. Welcome all. If you're visiting with us, I'm not the regular preacher, I'm one of the elders here. Jeff's out of town. Every year, about halfway through the year, we start thinking about our theme for next year. The reason for that is that we want to take the time to prepare our adult class lessons in accordance with that theme for the year. So last year, I was thinking about a theme and came across one that the Embry Hills Church used a few years ago. And they noted that they had had some growth. They had some a building project and some growth in their numbers and all. And they wanted to make sure that they had the right attitude about that, and that we weren't taking the glory for that, that we weren't considering that for something that we had done, but that all things be done to the glory of God. And I thought that would be quite appropriate. We have had some growth here. We've had some people added to our number, and we're so thankful for that. You've added to the joy that we have here, and we wanted to have that same theme. So our theme for year 2023 is whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. So the question is, how can we glorify God? Now, when we think about the word glorify, and we think about similar words, when we say the word modify, that means we are changing something. When we say the word amplify, that means that we are increasing the volume or the size of something. When we say the word in legal terms, when we say the word codify, that means we are writing something into code, and we are doing something. So when it comes to God, all glory belongs to Him. Is anything that we're going to do adding to that glory? Well, no, we're not, because all glory is His to begin with. And He reveals His glory to us, and we very familiar passage, Psalms 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. So God is, all glory dwells with Him, and He's revealing that to us. But glory here means heavy in weight. That's the idea of gravitas, right? Weighty, important. So that means that's the idea of glory. And the idea of glorify means that we give weight to God. In other words, we are saying that we recognize who He is, that God is great, that He deserves our praise and honor and glory, and we respond appropriately. So when we say glorify God, this is what we mean. Not that we are somehow adding glory to God, but that we're recognizing God for who He is. And so in this year, we're going to look at what we might do to glorify God. So how is it that these humble humans, weak as we are, could bring glory to God? And one of the things we can do is we can look at several things that are in the scripture that says, these things glorify God. So this is kind of like Letterman's top 10 list, right? Now, it's not really the top 10. These are just 10 things that we could do that will glorify God. And as a matter of fact, I'll just tell you right now, there could be a whole lot more things that we might be doing that could glorify God. But these are items that we find revealed in Scripture, where God Himself tells us, these things glorify me. So the first thing is that we can praise Him with our lips. So how does this relate to what we're doing in our adult classes? Well, I'll have you know that all of these classes will be connected with this in some way or another. And some really very, very directly will be related to glorifying God. We have a class on song worship. And certainly the praise of Him with our lips. We'll be talking about that in the song worship class. So we have a class, in the class that I'm teaching, on what is God doing right now. When we think about what God is doing right now, We will praise him just because of all the things he's doing right now. Jeff is going to be teaching a class on the portraits of God and the prophets. When we see the images of God in the prophets. And then we'll have a class on the Revelation. When we see the images of God and Christ, the glorified Christ in there, we will glorify God. We will be amazed at these things. And so I think a lot of these relate directly to the subject. The Gospel of John, of course. Jesus in the Gospel of John says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And of course, being that our theme passage is in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 1 Corinthians study is going to deal directly with how we might glorify God. Okay, so we can glorify God by praising him with our lips. It says here in Psalm 63, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. So one of the ways we can glorify God is to praise him with our lips, whether it's by song, by prayer, by just our vocalizing that we believe in God, testifying to other people about the greatness of God. This is something we can do to praise him. Number two is the idea that we can glorify God by obeying him. This passage in Malachi, this is kind of a negative proof, if you will. In Malachi, if you'll remember, they were criticized because the priests had offered defiled food. Well, was that in accordance with God's will? Was that in accordance with God's law? No, it wasn't. And so he says here, if you don't listen and if you don't take it to heart to honor my name, I will send a curse among you. So we are to honor God's word and honor his name by doing what he says. So obeying his word is glorifying to God. And along this line, our study that's going to be going on in Judges will be directly related to this. You know, in Judges, you have periods of faithfulness where people are glorifying God. They are praising him. They are coming to him and saying to him, we're dependent upon you. And they're blessed because of that. And then they go down where they're just doing their own will and they've forgotten about God. And guess what happens? Well, they go off all kinds of people come in to bother the Israelites. And eventually they go away into slavery because of that. Well, again, this study of Judges will bring to light the fact that we need to obey God's word. That's what glorifies him. Also, in the book of John, in the study of the Gospel of John, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, Jesus says. Okay, so number three, a third way we can glorify God is that we can pray in Jesus' name. Says in John, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, and what does that mean? When we say we pray in the name of Jesus, at the end of our prayer we say in Jesus' name, right? Or in the name of Christ, that sort of thing. What do we mean by that? We mean by his authority, in accordance with his will. So when we pray things that are in accordance with God's will, this is a prayer that glorifies God. Okay, so we can think about that as far as the mission that Jesus has revealed in the scripture. He has a mission for us. And in my class on what God is doing right now, we emphasize that here's what God is doing in the world, or what he's doing in the church, or what he's doing in the family. And so we want to partner with him in that. We want to partner with God in that. We want to go alongside with him. And this, if we pray in Jesus' name and ask him to help us with that, this is glorifying to God. And number four, when we produce spiritual fruit, this is glorifying to God. And again, in John, my Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. And of course, in the class that Bob is going to be teaching, talking about growing spiritually, I'm sure you will be talking about producing fruit in there and growing and doing what's right. And of course, the image there is a fellow that he's talking to his friend about the gospel. This is one of the ways we produce fruit. And to your honor and to your glory, if you will, this year, lots of you have brought your friends and neighbors to be with us, and that's great. That's something that glorifies God. We certainly, as we seek to reach the lost, we are glorifying God. We are telling God, we're telling the people, telling the world about who God is, right? And in doing that, we talk about his glory and what he's done for us, and that glorifies God. Okay. Number five is that this is a passage out of 1 Corinthians. And again, the study in 1 Corinthians, several places in 1 Corinthians will talk about the glory of God. And one of the things, well, think about Corinth. The city of Corinth was a very immoral place. It had lots of immorality going on. Even people who were involved in what would be called worship, a lot of that worship was immorality. And so here's a church in among the Gentiles who was raised up in all of that environment. Does that sound familiar? It sounds a lot like what's going on in the world today among us. In the world that we're in. So there's this sexual immorality going on. Paul tells the Corinthians, you're not to be part of that. You can't be a part of that. You must flee sexual immorality and glorify God with your body, which he tells them, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What do you do in a temple? What is it that people do in a temple? They honor the deity, right? They honor God. They serve him. They praise him, right? They bring their offering to him or her in their case. So what's done in a temple? Honoring the Holy Spirit, honoring God. And this is something that glorifies God when we remain pure in this way. Okay, number six is that we seek the good of others. Again, 1 Corinthians, the same chapter where we've been dealing with, no one is to seek his own good, but the good of other persons. How is it that when we do good for others, we glorify God? How does that glorify God? Well, who does the best for all of us? who are we imitating when we do good for other people? Well, we're imitating our Creator. We're imitating God, His Son, the Holy Spirit. We're imitating them. And it says, Jesus says, they will know that you're my disciples when you love one another. And so love and seeking the best of other people tells people that we honor God, that we glorify Him. Okay, number seven, giving generously glorifies God. And again, this is in 2 Corinthians. The Corinthians had promised to give an offering for the needy saints in Jerusalem. They had promised to do this. And Paul is writing to them to encourage them to do what they promised to do. They said that they would. The folks in Macedonia had already given themselves. Macedonia and Achaia had already been very, very generous. And he's writing to them and sort of putting a little bit of a guilt trip on them about the fact that they needed to actually do what they were planning to do. And he says this, they will glorify God for your obedience, for your obedient confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity. So when we're generous to people, when we give in a generous way, God is glorified in that. How is that? How does that work? Well, who provides the means for you to be generous or for anyone to be generous? The cattle on a thousand hills are his, Scripture says. God owns everything. Whatever you have is not yours, it's God's. You got it from God. So when you're generous, who deserves the glory? Well, God deserves the glory. And he is glorified when you're generous. Number eight, when we live honorably among the unbelievers, in 1 Peter 2, it says, conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that when they slander you as evildoers, they will observe your good works and will glorify God on the day he visits. This is remarkable. Here's someone who's looking at you. They don't have the same beliefs that you do. As a matter of fact, they disagree with you, and they consider that you're an evildoer. And yet, when you live honorably among them, look at what will change. Their attitude towards you will certainly change, but their attitude towards God changes when they see you doing good things. So you doing good things and acting in an ethical, right and righteous way among unbelievers, even though it's difficult sometimes to do that, this glorifies God. Number nine, will being faithful when we're persecuted glorifies God. Last year, I believe it was, not this last year, but the year before that, we did a study on For Whom the World Was Not Worthy. We talked about all of the different people who, down through the centuries, believers in God who have been persecuted. And we talked about the fact that there are many, many places in the world where believers are being persecuted right now. One of the places is in India, where folks who espouse belief in God and Christianity are really heavily persecuted. In India, the majority is Hindu. Then you have another group that is Muslim. And Christians are in kind of the minority there. And many terrible things have happened to these folks who are Christians there. But Peter tells the folks that he was writing to, who were about to experience the same sort of thing, he says, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in having that name. So when we suffer, when we suffer faithfully, this glorifies God. We are glorifying God. Why is that? Well, what we're saying is that this world is not the end of everything. And if it was, then we would be of all people most miserable, right? If our hope was in this world, we'd be of all people most miserable. Our hope is not in this world. And people who suffer faithfully show that that's the truth, that there's something beyond this world. And lastly, we can face death. When we face death with faith, this glorifies God. If you'll remember, it was the Lord himself who told Peter how that he would glorify him in his death, that he would be a martyr. Peter knew that. Evidently, it was also revealed to Paul. And he said, you're going to glorify me in this way. And Paul says about that Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To die is gain, that he would personally gain heaven and that peace that passed, that was after this world. But for him to live, it glorified God. It magnified God. But in his death, he would glorify God as well. Now, how is that? How is it that in your death you would glorify God? Well, for one thing, when you are willing to die for your belief, you're testifying to everyone that God is real, right? That God is real, that this life is not all there is, and that we become more than conquerors through Christ when we follow his will. So these things testify to the glory of God. These are just 10 ways that we might glorify God. in this next year, I want you to think about some other ways that you might glorify God. And we have several things that we're going to talk about in our class in regard to that. Things about how the family operates and all in the church and those sort of things. But these 10 things for sure glorify God, because guess what? God told us that they did. So let's go back to number two at the end of the lesson and talk about obedience and how that might glorify God. And if you have not been obedient to the truth, if you not obeyed God in this way, that is not glorifying God. Now, Bob talked really well this morning about what we lose when we reject God and we resist God. One of the things that we do when we resist God is we don't glorify Him. Sin does not glorify God. Anxiety and worry does not glorify God. Apathy and procrastination does not glorify God. But obedience to Him does glorify God. And here's the things that we need to do to be obedient to Him to get into that relationship that we want to have. And that is believe that Jesus is God's Son. Repent of your sins. Confess Him as Lord. Be buried with Him in baptism to forgive your sins, and then live faithfully after that. This is one way we can glorify God in our obedience to Him. I hope that this has been helpful to you. As we go through the classes, let me admonish you, if you're an adult and you haven't signed up for one of the classes and you've not been participating in classes, please do that. It's helpful for us who've spent time to prepare for the classes, and I think that it will be helpful for you to think about how we might glorify God in this next coming year. If you're subject to the call of God in any way, I would ask you to come now as we stand and sing.